Hey guys, hey there, welcome to War of the Bay podcast. I'm Kyle.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Anthony.
Todd Callis is gone. He went to Houston to greener pastures to be with cows and the Astros.
Sucks, kind of.
This avid departure of Tampa is really starting to get to me.
The avid? Is that what you said?
Yeah, like it's becoming the cool thing now to build your rep here and leave.
Yeah, you build a house, you open a restaurant, and then you fuck off. That's the move in Tampa.
Okay, but he gave us 18 years.
Oh no, I'm not. I am like in the least bit salty about this. I think that's like,
yeah, of all the stuff that of all the people, and I understand that this man is really just a play-by-play gall, but he was the a voice of the Rays. So
yeah, he will be missed, but I think I'm happy to see him go to somewhere where we can do play-by-play now. But here's my whole thing about this. What is an Astro, and why is Houston the place where the Astros reside? Is that like a NASA thing?
NASA, yeah. Houston, like, we have a problem.
Astronauts? So they're the Houston Astros. Astronauts?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, because the Houston Astronauts wouldn't sound very good now, would it?
Well, you know how they'll call the Oakland A's like the Oakland Athletics from time to time?
Yeah.
Like, why don't they call them the Houston Astronauts?
Because they're not. That's not an abbreviation. So it's just what they are.
Yeah, it's just like it's like a tag name. It's like
But they never call them the Houston Astronauts. Like they sometimes, like,
they're not.
If announcers want to be cute, they'll be like the New York Football Giants. Like. Okay, so if they're not astronauts, yes, so then Astros doesn't mean astronauts. So what is an Astro?
Just space.
Space.
It's like, it is the pre definition of space. So it's like an astronaut, and there's like other knots. I think, I don't know, man.
Can we get Neil deGrasse Tyson on the podcast to explain this to us, please? I need to know.
I wish we were Joe Rogan.
I really need to know. Neil Tyson. Good for Todd Callis. I was really hoping to that, like, there's something came out that's like he just bought a house here and then he left for greener pastures.
I don't know. His father's connection with the Astros actually has a lot to do with why he left, and I don't blame him for that, because he's going to get essentially it's a promotion, because he should be doing play-by-play.
Yeah, he did it with the Rays for a few games this season, or more than a few, I think.
Is he still single, I wonder?
I don't know.
Did he get married? Or is he married?
He's going to go slay that Houston pussy.
Slay it. Crushing the puss is what he's all about. He's all about crushing the puss. In Houston, I really do think that is what he's about, because you always see those.
Remember him and Kelly Nash when Kelly Nash was here.
Really,
they were always flirting. It seemed like
Kelly Nash followed me on Twitter, and then she unfollowed me. So she's dead to me.
I think she still follows me.
She's dead to me.
I like her a lot. She's really cool.
I talk too much shit on Twitter. That's probably why she unfollowed me.
Dude talks way too much shit on you. You are antagonistic.
I've mellowed out in the last few years on the Twitter machine. Have not done so much of that kind of stuff. But still, fuck Donald Trump.
Already
come
off
at
the
me.
Rails.
Should we talk about the Lightning first? Because I feel like,
yeah, let's just push them.
I feel
out.
Like we should
absolutely
rip the bandage off, the Band-Aid. They've been doing a little bit better.
A little bit, yeah. I don't want to repeat anything I said last week. I just sort of feel the same way right now.
Fire Cooper.
Sure.
Fire him so hard.
Yes, he's the one breaking all our players.
Christopher Oxen, who are you? What is going on? There's a guy in the chat, Christopher Oxen. He was here before the show even started. I hope you're a fan of the show. If so, I love you. Yeah, oh yeah, He's wearing a Bucks jersey. Yeah, go Bucks.
I mean, we got a win against the Wings. That was nice to have. It's always nice to beat the Wings.
I got to go to that game. You know, it was really fun.
Yeah, I think it was one of Druin's best games of his career, too.
I know. The saddest part about this whole season, the way it started, is how well Druin is playing, has been playing. So it's like he's having his breakout year in the shittiest year.
Yeah, and it took this many injuries to get him on the first line consistently, which is kind of sad.
Oh, salt in the
Yeah, well, you know.
I heard it. So Ben Bishop's out 3 to 4 weeks as well with a with the classic hockey lower body injury that leaves young Vasi. And who did they call up from Syracuse?
Christer's Gudleski.
Gudleski's.
Goody. With his awesome rocker hair.
Yeah.
And he's fresh off a fight.
You know awesome what's funny? Both, both prospects talked about this on his podcast, that like when Yzerman's in the building in Syracuse or when he gets like put in the spotlight, Christer's performs so well. But when nobody's there or like nobody cares about the game, he plays poorly. He's just one of those players. He like if Yzerman only knew what he watched of him in person, he'd probably think he was the best goalie in the world.
Where's he from again? Sweden?
Latvia.
Latvia.
Yeah, he was about to say Sweden.
So we got to get the president of Latvia at every game going forward.
It's probably possible, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. He's
don't try to impersonate him, Kyle, because I'm pretty sure he's just going to sound like the Russian president.
He's president of Latvia. I come and watch skate game. I watch skate game and watch player play very well for team. I'm president. Okay, I'm sorry. That's very offensive. I'm sorry to all Russians listening right now.
Latvians, just because that was a terrible burst.
Or Latvians, yeah.
So we got a back-to-back today, starting against the Blues. We're down 2-0 currently. And
what? Yeah. I just checked the score. It was nothing. How did this happen?
And then we got the Capitals tomorrow in Washington, which what kind of fucking scheduling is that? Fuck you. Going to make the team travel on a back-to-back to Washington right before the fucking Christmas break. You never make
the Blackhawks do that. You monsters. It's Christmas.
Well, then they get a Christmas break.
Okay.
Yeah, until
the Scrooge McDuck is running the NHL.
Do hockey players even celebrate Christmas? Like they spend their it's Christmas every year.
I would say yes. They are people, and so so therefore yes.
Am I confusing hockey with Judaism again?
Probably.
Is that what's happening?
It's very possible.
Okay, yes. Just making sure.
I don't think there's really much left to say.
No,
about the Lightning. It's the same old thing. We can't get healthy. We're just kind of treading water right now. We're still 2 points back of a playoff spot, but it doesn't feel like it at all. At all. The way we're playing, our play's been way too inconsistent recently.
Can I say I think it's because of our usual perspective on the Eastern Conference, and that's leading it, or at least near in front. And we're going to have a scrap to get into the playoffs this year. It's going to be harder this year than what we're normally used to. So maybe that's the overall pessimism going around that I hear from a lot of Lightning fans. And I can see why, because it is a little woe is me.
I mean, I just keep thinking like, okay, just tread water until we can start to get healthy. And then maybe we start turning the corner. But it seems like every time we start to get like Palat and Kucherov came back into practice today.
Yeah.
And then Vladdy gets sick and Paquette is out. Like, it's just a never-ending circle of misery right now that just keeps spinning. And it just doesn't feel like a year where we're fighting everything to have success right now. Literally, you know, we're fighting injuries and just inconsistent play in general. It doesn't feel like a year that's set up for success.
No. But, I mean, I would assume that a team that makes the playoffs as constantly as we do can persevere.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's not over or anything like that. And when guys start to get healthy, maybe we just get off this injury bug and things go well. But it's just, it feels like an odd year. It feels like, you remember that Rays year where everything was set up to make a run and then everybody got hurt? What year was that? 2000? It was like Madden's last year. We signed Balfour and all that stuff.
Yeah. I recall that.
Yeah.
Well, I just looked it up right here. This time last year, we were 17-15-3. That's very close to what we are right now at 16. What did I just see?
16-14-3.
Yeah. We made the playoffs last year.
I'd like to look at how the roster looked then, though.
Right. Yeah. Well, true.
That's a better question.
Yeah.
In an apples to apples comparison, I mean, we're right on track with where we were last year at this time. So I don't know if it's time to start panicking on the Lightning just yet. I mean, we've been hit with a lot of unfortunate injuries. I think if we would have been if we're at least half as healthy right now at this point of the season, we'd have a lot better of a record. But it's just some bad luck, and there's no reason to believe that we won't make the playoffs this year. We've had some bad games and some bad runs, but
I think it's going to come down to what Yzerman does at the trade deadline that defines where he thinks this season is going to go. Because if he goes out and trades for a top four defenseman, then he obviously feels like this roster is in good enough shape to make a run and get back to the playoffs and maybe make a run at the cup again. But the thing right now is that due to the expansion draft, the trade market is kind of frozen because people are just, they're afraid to make trades, because then if you trade, you have to protect that guy and stuff like that. And it's, nobody wants to fuck with their roster right now. And as the deadline closes in, that's going to change. But still, you just don't. I don't know what's going through Yzerman's head right now. Does he feel like maybe we should just ride this out with? And he likes his assets is the problem. You know, he likes to have draft picks and prospects and all that, which is great. And I prefer a GM that doesn't just trade those away like candy, but. Still, you know, these past few years, he's made small moves like getting Coburn a few years ago and stuff like that. But he's never made that big earth shaking move besides the Callahan for Marty deal, which was kind of he forced his hand. I don't think he makes that trade if Marty doesn't demand it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a weird situation right now. We're kind of in a weird place. Do you ride this season out for what it is, and if you end up with a top 10 pick, that just adds to an already deep prospect pool and a team that, you know, could come back next year and look strong again? Or do you try to fix this midway through the season and just go for it again? I don't know. It depends on how you view the window, I guess.
That's well put. I still think that you have some time left to decide before the trade deadline comes up. If we keep losing games, if we keep at this clip throughout January, then maybe start looking at not trading at the trade deadline.
I struggle with that because it's like hockey is, especially for a team that's going to need these prospects coming up soon as we lose guys due to salary cap. How much are you willing to give up for a top four defenseman, and who's available, and is it the right deal? You know, obviously we saw last year with Yzerman and Drouin that he didn't see the right deal, so he just didn't make a move. And people criticized him for that because they felt like he should have traded him when his value is still there. But look at him now. Without Drouin, where the fuck would we be this year? We'd probably have a way worse
right. You're right.
Do you hear what he said?
And at this point, what?
Do you hear what Drouin said? Mm-hmm. Kind of came out, I think it was last week, said he loves Tampa, loves playing here, loves the atmosphere.
Aww.
Well, yeah. Look, we, you know, when that whole thing was going down, the team still had his back. They still loved him. You know, they talked about how, you know, they wanted him back in the locker room and stuff like that. And
I can't recall any time in recent, like, save for like when Derek Brooks held out a training camp. I remember Derek Brooks held out. I think it was like I want to say it was like 99-ish, or possibly 2003. Regardless, Derek Brooks held out of camp. Everybody's like, fuck this guy. Fuck him. And he's selfish. And then, like, he goes and returns a pass for a touchdown or something. They're like, I love him. Like, short of that, I think, like, that this whole Drouin turnaround of where everybody, like, just stood up and said, okay, fuck this guy, to where we are now, where we couldn't imagine life without him. Just, like, one of the biggest turnarounds as a fan base, I think.
It's I've often said that good hockey cures all, and it's true. If he was playing poorly right now and not up to snuff and not carrying this team in the way that he has recently, people would probably still say, yeah, fuck him. He crested a trade and he comes back and he sucks. But since he's been playing really well and looks like that, you know, that big franchise piece that we thought he was when we drafted him, everything changes. It's funny how that works. But you know, it's okay. We know the people out there that stuck with him. We know the people that threw him under the bus. So that's how it goes.
It's just the nature of the game.
Yep.
Those people weed themselves out, and the good ones stay.
You're right.
But God forbid anybody talks about maybe thinking about a different head coaching direction, then all of a sudden you're an asshole.
Look, first and foremost, everybody listening to this podcast should be at least one form of a Tampa Bay fan, and every one of these teams has had its heart ripped out at one point in time. So you know what? Get used to it, guys. People leave.
Get used to
it. It's going to happen this offseason.
Yep.
Yep. There's no way we keep all these RFAs. There's no fucking way. There's no way. Someone's going to get traded, someone's going to get exposed to the
expansion
draft.
And that's out of necessity for the team.
Yeah. And look at the fucking World Junior team. We have five Lightning prospects on the Canadian World Juniors team.
Rig them up. Bring them up now.
No. We're not deep though or anything.
No.
Let's go.
No, farm system's barren. What are you talking about?
God, I sense the hate coming out of your voices.
Maybe if the Lightning ran the Rays, we would have a Joe Maddon staying in Tampa instead of just watching the game tonight.
You had to bring that up. Nick. Now we can't control Kyle for the rest of the show.
Get out of my stadium, guy. You live here, but you don't belong here.
He's got
here.
A restaurant here, Kyle.
Oh yeah, your Asia restaurant.
At least he was a Lightning fan. You know, he could have been a Blackhawks fan now.
Oh yeah, I love this. I can't wait for the first time the Blackhawks play the Lightning, and everybody realizes that they hate Blackhawk fans again. Oh yeah, what's wrong? You love Chicago fans like 3 months ago. What's wrong? What's wrong with Blackhawk fans?
On your face.
Yeah, I say that, but there's a Cubs hat in my house right now. I bought a Cubs hat.
What?
This week, yeah.
Why?
Last week, Christmas present.
Oh.
Christmas present, yeah.
Oh, I was like, what the fuck?
It burned.
What a heel turn.
I know, right?
This is like the WWE, like Kyle came into the ring and like threw his Rays hat off and he put the Cubs in.
let me tell you right now, folks. Yeah. Let's go Cubs. We're going to fly that W flag. Can't wait. Woo!
Yeah, as you can tell, we are now picked up and sponsored by a Chicago-based.
Yeah. Welcome to Word of the Chicago.
All right, let's get into it. So what's losing Chapman? What's that going to really do to the bullpen this year? I think
not much actually. I think what's adding Wade Davis.
Am I the only one that gets extremely weirded out when a guy gets traded to a team from a team and then signs right back with that team? And they all like that's got to be awkward.
That's like some kind
it?
Of collusion, right? It's got to be.
Yeah, like he talked about this with the Yankees before they traded him. I was like, listen, we know you're going to be free agent. Like, we're going to trade you and get these assets, and then we're just going to sign you again in the offseason. You can do that in baseball because there's no salary cap.
Now I triple hate him.
I was just about to say, that's a baseball
thing. Yeah.
Because not only does he go to Cubs and win a World Series with the Cubs, and then he comes back to the Yankees who are in our division. So fuck that guy. Next, I don't know.
All right.
In closing, I'd like to say fuck Joe Maddon.
We got a lot of ground to make up with the Bucks because we didn't have a rapid react this show.
We actually do, yeah. Yeah. And there's... It's so funny how after a loss there's a lot more to cover than after a win. Like after a win it's like, hey, we won. Doug Martin.
What else do you want to say?
Yeah.
I just want to preface this with saying there's definitely not going to be a rapid react this weekend. So don't expect.
Let's
Christmas.
Don't,
yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
Let's just run straight through. I think we can maybe go without a break. I haven't been doing breaks on the show recently, so like
sure, let's just do it.
Yeah, let's just charge through and we'll power through and do it. We're gonna do a power hour on this podcast, something we never do, and just bring up the Bucks loss to the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football.
A very painful loss.
I didn't feel a lot of pain,
really?
To be honest. Yeah. I was okay with the way this all shook out because. It was kind of expected.
We knew
when the schedule came. We you circle some games and you know all your divisional games are going to be tough. You know it's going to be tough to beat Denver, the defending Super Bowl champions, and you know it's going to be tough to defeat the Cowboys. And even in the lead up to this game, in the weeks approaching this game, the Cowboys have been one of the best teams in the NFC. So we knew that this was going to be a tough game going into it. And I said on the last podcast that during our Super Bowl run, I always wanted to assign this team like a label. And I didn't think that the team was a top shelf NFC team until they could either beat the Eagles or the Packers in that Super Bowl year. We lost to the Eagles, we beat the Packers. Same goes with this year as far as, you know, we lost to the Cowboys and we beat the Seahawks and lost to the Cowboys. I mean, those are two of the NFC powerhouses. But the thing is we kept pace with the Cowboys. Like, we were right there.
I never felt we were out of the game until it was late into the fourth quarter.
Well, I think when Dak Prescott had that touchdown run, I thought, okay, shit, this one's getting out of hand. They're early on, it felt like FSU versus USF.
You said that on the first drive.
I said on the first drive, but still, it just felt like they were out physicaling us, and like we couldn't get we weren't able to maintain pressure on Dak Prescott the entire game.
No, we didn't touch him. It was, yeah. I mean, we got a few sacks, I think, but like it didn't feel like we were in key moments. We weren't even getting close.
That dude has a monster offensive line, and like props to him because he's a great quarterback. Like from what I saw from this game, he does really well.
He plays well in that offense. Yeah.
I just don't think this is one to hang your head on. I think we should have beat them. We had every chance to beat them, and we were like, this was if I was a third party watching that Cowboys Bucks game from the sidelines as like. You know, I used to watch every Sunday night football
neutral
game.
Fan?
Yeah, neutral fan. I would have been very satisfied with this game as like entertainment wise.
It got the 15th highest Sunday night football ratings. It was something like the highest in 5 years.
Dude, I'm glad you I'm glad you mentioned these ratings.
I know where
thing.
You're going
because how much did Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth shit on us this game?
A lot.
Like a lot, right?
Especially bringing up that old Seattle game where I don't fucking know. One of our teams was playing a game 7 against Boston that same fucking night.
Yeah, like they bring it up like, you know, well, this is only Tampa's second appearance on Sunday Night Football. The first time, one of the lowest rating Sunday Night Footballs ever. Like, motherfucker. There was a major sports franchise in the same town playing a game 7 against the Red Sox. What?
We don't mention that.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
Explanations.
Way to do your due diligence there, NBC.
I mean, it was definitely a Cowboys jerk off the entire fucking podcast. I mean,
and it was a slow jerk off,
which is usual because think about it. Every fucking week we have a primetime game with a team from that division. So.
That's true. And the other thing, I mean, they're like I think. It's like the Cowboys draw the highest rating of any team, and like they're always playing in prime time. It's just it's one of those things.
America's team.
Back to back Sunday Night Footballs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what the fuck? Like, what is
flex?
Make them play a 1 o'clock game. Fuck you. It's fucking ridiculous. I'm tired of watching.
Maybe that's it. They get the extra 4 hours really does, or the extra 3 hours really does help.
I mean, at the end of the day, the Cowboys are never going to have the 1 o'clock game where fucking Brady Quinn and announcer McGee are announcing their games on Fox.
Well, like, even when they suck, they don't get the shaft.
No, they don't. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like even when they suck, it's like, fucking don't flex them out of it. Whatever, fucking 3-10 Cowboys versus the fucking 5-7 Saints. Go,
it's big money, man. It's the NFC East is like. I don't know. Maybe because we're on the East Coast, we feel that way. But like the NFC East,
I'm just tired of watching them. It just harkens back to the NFL's inability to make their product entertaining. It seems like because it's just every fucking week, it's Eagles versus Giants on Thursday Night Football, and oh, fucking just put a gun into my head, please.
Speaking of which, that it came out today that they're doing some kind of a developmental league or like a spring league, and it's not NFL affiliated, but there's going to be another one of those football leagues around again. Oh boy.
I don't understand why any football league thinks they're going to step up and compete with the NFL. Like in terms of financial gains and stuff like that, like you're just not going to. Like all the best players are going to go to the NFL. It's just like fucking Major League Soccer. All the best players are going to go overseas because they can get paid over there.
What's the blueprint to beat the NFL though? Maybe games on a Saturday.
Figured it out yet?
You're right. Well, Donald Trump almost figured it out with USFL, and then
I think the blueprint to beat the NFL is just. And it's almost impossible because you can't get the same talent, is to put a more entertaining product on the field, which you just can't do because you can't get the same talent.
Yeah.
And then handle your league and your public relations better. Because the NFL is so fucking bad with that.
Yeah, they are.
And the only reason they get away with it is because they're the only major football league.
Like that Ezekiel Elliott jumps into the... Salvation Army,
and they throw a penalty flag.
They throw a flag, but they don't find him. But then Odell Beckham Jr. wears those cleats for like some kind of charity, whatever charity he's supporting.
Yeah.
And he gets fined. It's where's the standard? Where's the line?
There
here?
Is no standard. That's the fucking issue. And we've talked about it before. The NFL's fucking bad at their job. They just are.
They are.
They're very bad at their job.
But there's nowhere else to go unless you like college football. It's which is also really bad at their fucking job. That slave labor that is. It's fucking it's ridiculous, man. That's Kim. Well, we're still talking about the Bucks.
I know. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad. See, this is why I want Anthony around. He agrees with me that college football is a slave system.
I love it, but it's a slave system.
Of course
system.
It is. Yeah.
they work for free and they make the anyways. And they charge all the students like a fee for the football team. Like, well, there's a football team like fee for each student.
You know what's ridiculous? Oh, like, fuck. Not even the head coach. He can't even take his players out to lunch. Or they'll get fines and all kinds of shit. Like, that's so fucking ridiculous that the head coach that makes millions can't even take like his fucking players out to dinner or something.
What if let's say I'm the owner of the Bucks and there's like a highly touted dual athlete running back that I'm scouting and I want to take him on my team plane, you know, to talk to him. Like, that's got to be a violation, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally. You can't talk to anybody until you like officially declare, I think.
Yeah. Bo Jackson says, fuck you.
I'm just...
And the last horse gets to the race.
Can we just touch on it real quick?
What's that?
About the guys skipping the bowl game and people being upset.
Oh, you really want to touch on Bo Jackson?
No.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Bo Jackson situation.
Even though I saw
quick.
His fucking commercial 18,000 times on Sunday night, but...
Dude, oh, Tecmo Bowl. Yeah. Uh-huh. I now hate part of my past.
Yeah.
I kind of wish I was around to see the Bo era. Anyways, let's the bowl game players sending out bowl games?
So, Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette are skipping their meaningless bowl games.
Yep.
So they don't get hurt and hurt their draft stock, and people are just upset. They're like, "Oh, these guys don't have their competitive spirit." It's you know, they wouldn't skip a national championship. Well, no shit. They wouldn't skip a national championship game. Something. But if the fucking Meineke Car Care Bowl or whatever the fuck they're in, like that
poor bowl,
that
versus bowl for years.
Getting hurt in that and then losing millions of dollars.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like fuck you. No, they have every right to sit out. They have every right to declare for the draft and say fuck you. They're not getting paid anyway, so what the fuck?
It's true, and the thing about it is like people want to tell them to be like professionals or be athletes or something. Well, they're not professionals. But the other thing is like, where's your competitive spirit? Where's your competitive nature? Like, these guys maybe have, if they're lucky, 10 years to make the most amount of money that they'll ever make in their life, and that's it. And any kind of injury to their body, like anything, any injury that they sustain will hurt that. So I can't blame them for wanting to sit that out and go make your fucking money in the NFL, for God's sakes. That's why I love seeing when dudes get paid. Like, make your money now, because like they're gonna be 40, 50 one day, and they're gonna have a whole nother life ahead of them. And I pray that they made the right decisions, because like I was reading today about Vince Young and how Vince Young pissed away all his savings and
that was back when
bankruptcy.
That was back when rookies got paid.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They got big deals coming out.
What did he buy?
I think usually in those kind of situations, it's not like what he bought, but it's
what his family
and friends.
Where he put his money to has a lot to do with that. I'm sure there's a lot of people in his ear.
Who did he invest with?
it's fucked up. So I have no Leonard Fournette sit out every game. From now until draft day.
And you devalue the playoff game or the bowl games by having the playoffs.
There's too fucking many of them anyway. The Boca Raton Bowl,
the St. Pete Bitcoin Bowl,
The Miami Beach Bowl. Like, dude,
is
make
it the
an 18. What was that?
Is it the Bitcoin Bowl again? I thought it was just the same.
No,
it's
not.
It's like the St. Pete Bowl.
I think they said I forget the exact number, but a lot of them don't have sponsors this year because there's just so many of them and nobody watches them.
Yeah.
Like right now, tonight is the Idaho Potato Bowl.
Who cares?
Who gives a fuck? Like, just make an 18 playoff, have like maybe the Rose Bowl and shit like every year, like those big, big bowl games, and say fuck it to the rest. Yeah, you don't need them.
You got the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, and what else am I missing?
Have the pre-existing sponsors of the big bowl games just sponsor the playoff rounds. You'll get the same effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. The big Rose, Sugar, Cotton, Fiesta.
Fiesta.
Orange.
Orange. Orange.
Orange, yeah. And would you, I don't think Outback.
No.
The Outback Bowl's not. It's a bigger game, but it's not.
That game's going to be a steaming pile of shit this year. Holy mm-hmm.
fuck. It was always big. It was big around
Florida
here.
Florida and Iowa.
Well, better than seeing people. Mississippi State at Ohio.
Yeah, Orange Bowl,
the Peach
Fiesta Bowl, Peach Bowl, Sugar Bowl.
Wait, what about the Chick-fil-A Bowl?
That's the Chick-fil-A. That's the Peach Bowl, Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, Orange Bowl, Peach Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Rose Bowl,
Sugar
Bowl. That's and then it. The national champ, and that should be it. Really, it should be those. It should be those ones.
Just make a fucking playoff that can include all those bowl sites, mm-hmm. and be done with it. And the rest of the teams, well, sorry, your whole goal should be able to make the playoffs. So, you know.
Yeah. So fuck the Popeye's Bahama Bowl, the Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl.
The only thing that I have
set a bowl.
The only thing about this that kind of like I can see the argument for is that these small schools get to go to a place like the Bahamas for a couple days and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, that is cool.
But still, like a lot of these nobody watches, nobody cares about, and these guys shouldn't play in them if they have a chance to make it in the NFL. It's just the way it is. Why are you going to go to the fucking Popeye's Bahama Bowl and get hurt and that shit?
When you could be a first-round pick. When if you go to the Popeye's Bahama Bowl, blow, you're going to guess what? You're undrafted.
I got an idea. New Jimmy,
have a lot of Popeyes.
New Jimmy Fallon late-night segment is bowl games. Like he announces his new bowl game. So it'll be like...
Bowl games or car dealership.
The Preparation H Bowl or the... The $5 car wash
the
bowl.
The Motel 6 Cactus Bowl.
Yeah, the Motel... The Quick Lane Bowl.
The National Funding Holiday Bowl.
The National... What is it? What? Oh, how about this one? The Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman.
Foster Farms Bowl. The Advocare V100 Texas Bowl.
Buffalo Wild Wings... The Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl.
In Orlando.
Oh, that's got LSU and Louisville, and Outback Bowl. I always figured the Outback Bowl was a pretty big. Well, it is. I think it's big for Tampa.
Yeah, I've always liked the Outback Bowl.
No. I was talking about the Orlando game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that is a pretty big good one. It's two ranked opponents.
The New Era Pinstripe Bowl in Yankee Stadium. That's just like a gimmick.
It's just hilarious.
Yeah, there's just too many.
Are you guys too cheap to go to the Yankees game to see the Yankee Stadium? Well, here's your chance to come check out.
whose idea was it? Guys, listen. I got an idea for a bowl game. We play it at Yankee Stadium, and if the guy runs out the back of the end zone, he immediately gets paralyzed as he runs into the fucking wall.
The pinstripe bowl. Yeah. What is happening? What is going on in this? Oh, Jesus. We were talking about the Bucks for a second. And then we kind of got off track against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny how they were shitting on us as announcers. But if we wanted to get back to the game, there's another thing that kind of irked me. And like that was towards the end of the game, there was so much like fiery hate towards Gossett or Chereles. Like, fucking
it
like
was they wanted him off the team like,
yeah vitriol just quarter. Like yeah they wanted they like it's like that mob mentality. They would have fucking killed him after like during the game. And like I'll admit like that last drive was horrendous, especially the one where what was his name, the guy for Dallas had all those sacks.
I don't fucking know. Yeah. That dude. So you know who he is by now.
That guy. Sure. Yeah. But people were like death threats to Gossett or Chereles. Then it comes out that he had a groin injury. So like, what? So it's like, number one, can you really blame Gossett or Chereles for trying to tough out a groin injury? Number two, Where were the coaches on the sideline that said, "Okay, dude, you don't have it tonight. Let's just put
They put in somebody else.
But on that drive, I'm talking on that specific drive, that drive with 3 minutes left, where Jameis Winston couldn't move the ball at all. They did nothing to help. They chipped the guys they had, the running backs chip, but as far as like recognizing that your player is injured and take him out of the game, like they did nothing for him.
No, they didn't, and it was a team loss. Like that's what
it was a team loss. There were so many aspects that we could have capitalized on, being, you know, creating more turnovers, or wasn't there a fumble that we didn't recover?
No, it was a fumble that I was going to bring that up. I think that was the backbreaking moment of the game when Kwan forced that fumble. We got it with good field position. I forget what we were down by at that point. I think 23-20, maybe, something like that. And we had a chance to at least tie the fucking game, and we didn't, and we ended up punting. And that just takes all the fucking wind out of your sails when that shit happens, man. And you can good football teams, they take that down the field and fucking capitalize. Or great football teams, excuse me, because I think we're a good football team, but not great yet. And it just hurt, man, because I really feel like we had multiple chances to win this game, and we just didn't.
Yeah. Ezekiel Elliott was able to run the ball well against us. Like I said, Dak Prescott, he got sacked once, but for the most part, he kept his jersey clean, as it were.
Yeah, this is another thing, too. Like, Dan Bailey's usually automatic, and he missed two that night. So, like, that was another opportunity for us. Because, you know, if he hits those two field goals, the game isn't close at the end.
You're right.
Close enough. You know, I was waiting for Winston. It really felt like, okay, he's going to fucking, on national television, he's going to have that moment. That moment when he drives us down the field and wins a huge game in Dallas. And it just didn't come. And that's partly due to the O-line, and it's partly due to the play calling, and it's partly due to the fact that he was just off in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, he had Mike Evans streaking on that play down the sideline open.
That.
He also had Russell Shepard in that drive as well. And, yeah, he didn't hit him. But, again, I thought Anthony put it very well in the sense that he – It wasn't just. I don't think it was just Jameis Winston, because he did his part for the loss. Like he had some key overthrows. There were some key play calling and substitution issues on the coaching staff. The defense wasn't able to do their job like they have been in the last five weeks.
You know what? I thought as bad as it looked on the they definitely employed the bend don't break thing, and they did keep us in the game, which I think against a team like Dallas is really all you can ask for. Unless you have an elite defense, you probably just need to keep it close and hope your offense can give you some help. You know, because like you talked about, Kyle, their O-line is ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're going to get their yards. Like, it's just the way it is. But, you get a bend-don't-break strategy.
Yeah, we had every chance to win. And
God, that was bad.
Oh, yeah. We're watching that fumble by Jameis Winston, and that was pretty bad. That and that turnover, that interception that he threw in Dallas territory, those are two, like, huge mistakes that...
Typically, he wouldn't make.
Yeah, we just seem like a team that was not ready for prime time. You know, the Cowboys have been there so often, and you heard Gerald McCoy before the game talk about how like everybody's perception of us, and I think Chris Collinsworth made the comment that like it's a college like atmosphere in the Buccaneers locker room. That just speaks to a bunch of dudes who are just like geeked out at the fact that they're playing on Sunday Night Football.
Also speaks to a young team too.
And it speaks to a young team.
It was a great throw.
Yeah, it was. So it's, I am not hanging my head over this loss. We kept up with the Cowboys when we should have beaten them. We had every chance to beat them and we didn't.
That's what hurts the most.
Yeah.
Really, when you look back at it, is that I don't think we played our best game at all. I don't think we played as good as we're capable of playing. And we were still in it till the very end. And I'm not upset. It definitely just shows the signs of a team that's improving, getting better, making strides, but not there yet, and still needs maybe one or two more off seasons of drafting and free agent signings and development to really get to that level where we can start talking about serious contending. Obviously, the playoffs are still in front of us these next 2 weeks, and that'd be a big step. That'd be nice to make it. I don't think they're going to go very far, It depends on our draw, I guess. But, you know, still, it's... There's been strides made, obviously, because I think if you play this game last year, we probably get our doors blown off on Sunday night, so...
Yeah, that's another good point. Like, I've seen this game happen so many times where... Jesus Christ, we're watching that Adam Humphreys touchdown pass. Amazing. We've watched the Bucs get blown out in these kind of games so many times, so... To see them actually go out there in prime time against a top opponent and compete was a good thing, and I think that's ultimately why.
Too.
What's that?
It wasn't. Sorry, I thought you were done.
Yeah, no, you're right. We did it for four quarters. Like we kept ourselves in that game, in this game. So I wasn't too stupid. They tried to double reverse, you dummies.
Shades of Reggie Bush.
I know. That the Reggie Bush play against the Saints.
Yeah.
But I just think it's so dopey and so stupid for like Bucks fans. They were blaming just one opponent, you know, one guy for causing this all these problems. Like they're blaming Gossett or Sherless. Just
on that note, though, Damar Dotson did practice today.
Well, good, but just grow up. Like it's a team game. It's not one dude, and it's
never
just,
one moment, not one flag, one play. It's
and what I don't get is that Winston would tell you like it's a team loss. Like he wouldn't. If anything, he's gonna put the blame on himself before he put. He's not the kind of guy that seems like he would throw his teammates under the bus in any situation ever. So. For our fans who love this guy so much to act in the complete opposite of how he leads this team, in which they're a family and they win and lose together, is just asinine to me. It really is. I mean, we've obviously already talked about the improvements that they made as a team this year, and like it or not, you know, the Cowboys are just a better team.
Yeah.
And it's just how
and
right
that's
now.
Okay. I think that a lot of Bucks fans are a little hurt by that. Like, we were on a 5-game winning streak. We were supposed to derail that. You know, maybe. Maybe we were supposed to beat them. But they're a good team, and they proved it. And they're a better team than us. And maybe I shouldn't say that. They were a better team than us that
day. No, they are. They're a better team. They have a deep offensive line. If anything, I would say our defenses are pretty equal. In terms of, like, I didn't see anything from their defense that made, besides that one dude, David Irving or whatever his name was.
Yeah, David Irving.
Yeah, he was dominant the whole night. But we have a few guys like that. They're dominant players. But other than that you can just see how their offense is so much farther along in terms of development on the O-line and, you know, stuff like that. And depth and receiver and big play weapons and stuff like that. We just have a ways to go. I mean, for fuck's sake, we're still throwing passes to Freddie Martino.
Like, exactly.
You know, it's...
We'll stop doing it when it stops working.
We'll stop doing it when we get a better fucking receiver. That's what we'll do.
We're watching that fumble again. That fumble was devastating late in the fourth quarter.
To not capitalize on
Jason it. Witten fumbles. And it's... not. I mean, it's in the fourth quarter with eight minutes to go. And so, like, you think, okay, here we go. It's
at least tie it.
Yeah, at least tie it. But, like, to get a touchdown... That was kind of like the beginning of the end for this game.
I felt like that was backbreaking. And we had two more chances after that, and we couldn't do anything. But like that was like, and especially because we punted like after getting the ball like on the other side of the 50. Like that's bad shit.
That is bad shit. I don't know. Now I'm getting sad. Now you guys are making me sad. I wish we would have. Now I wanted to win this game.
I won't talk about them.
I know. It sucks to lose.
I guess we can move on to this.
So, do we want to step on to New Orleans?
Yeah, sure.
Let's move on to New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Hey, we're playing them at New Orleans.
On a Saturday.
Yes. Christmas Eve. I don't know.
I mean, we just played them like a week ago, so it's not like much has changed since then.
Yeah,
it's probably going to be the same formula to beat him again. You got to shut down Drew Brees.
Well, hold on.
I wanted to ask, do you think that's the same game?
What's that?
Do you think you see the same low-scoring game?
If it's in New Orleans, probably not.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have their you know, the crowd on their side.
Yeah, it's the dome. It's Brees and Peyton. It's what they do.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people because I'm in two different fantasy championships this week. Because I am a golden god of fantasy, so naturally I am in two different fantasy championships. So
I'm in one.
Nick's in one. Okay, good. Congratulations. But I've just been doing a lot of research, and a lot of what people are saying about this game is a shootout between Winston and Breeze. But like I've heard that so many times about the like I just
that's what they said about last week.
Like everybody's so quick to label a game. Oh, but shootout alert! Like no, like I think this is gonna be like a 17-20 kind of game.
Yeah, you know? still under 50.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is weird because this game is like not spread out at all. So we're just going to be repeating all the same shit that we said like a week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what else to say.
It's the same implications. We need to win this game to keep our playoff hopes alive. Like, we need to win the next two games, really, to make it.
And I'm worried because these are two tough games against two NFC South opponents.
Well, at least we got the Panthers at home. At least we don't have to go.
Yeah, that is
nice. You got to understand, both of these teams are actively trying to be spoiler for us.
Well, they don't need to be spoiled.
They want it.
I think is there a scenario where they can make the playoffs, both teams?
What do you mean?
The Saints and the Panthers aren't mathematically out of the playoffs.
Right, so many people would have to lose. It'd be a fucking Christmas miracle.
Well, the thing is, we can control our destiny here because Washington lost, so we still have possession of that second wild card spot. So we could afford to lose that Dallas game. We still make the playoffs.
Green Bay has it.
Oh, does Green Bay have it?
Yeah.
Well, we need Green Bay to win their fucking division because we don't have to deal with
Detroit to lose to Dallas.
Yeah, just all these dumb scenarios.
Green Bay has it. We have the same record, but I don't know if that's just how they're just putting the standings. We might be tied. I don't know.
The thing is, if we're tied, I believe we have a better divisional record than they do.
That's the thing.
Rogers is starting to turn it on.
I'm investigating.
Rogers discount double check. Yeah, but it's nice to be talking about this right now. I'm confident about the Bucks in these next two games. That's not saying I guarantee a win or anything. I just think that we have a chance to definitely win these next two games, and there will be some level of disappointment if we don't. I think if we don't make the playoffs this year, I will have some disappointment, even though we're not going to have a losing record this year.
I won't.
I don't think that's understandable.
I don't think it would suck. I mean, I wouldn't like it, but I would. I don't think I'd be like, damn, you know. Because we started off this year talking about, like, maybe we can go, like, 7-9.
Yeah. Or like, you know, yeah. I said 6-10 or something. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people put us at, like, 6-10 this year. So I said on Twitter after the New Orleans game, like, no matter what happens these last 3 weeks, now 2 weeks, it's a step forward this year.
Yeah. So I want to elaborate, guys, because I figured it out. And it's kind of a sucky thing. It's in true Bucks fashion. We're gonna have a good season, and we might miss the playoffs due to a technicality. So the Green Bay Packers are ahead of us based on their strength of schedule. They have a 5-10 record, and we have a 0.505. So 0.5 hundredths of a record. That fucking sucks.
It does suck.
So they're playing Minnesota this week.
We're going to be rooting against the... we can root for the Packers because we want them to win their division.
We want them to win the division.
And so we want the
we're going to watch the Packer game at my place.
Yep. Yeah,
and we're going to want Detroit to lose because they're playing... I believe they're playing Dallas.
What time
week,
does
right?
Green Bay play?
One.
Okay.
Yeah,
one. Yeah, we're the 4 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because we're prime time, baby.
Prime time.
Yeah, Andrew, we want the Packers to win the fucking division, okay, bro?
Yeah, he's a Detroit fan.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's, we know we got New Orleans coming up, Christmas Eve, so let's get our keys to the game. Special holiday edition, which we haven't addressed.
I just want to hear Snoop Dogg come in.
Great Christmas. Christmas song overall. I'll hit you with some lyrics in a second.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue, the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog in the park. I approached him very slowly with my
Run DMC. Like actively decided, like, hey, I'm gonna make a fucking Christmas rap song. Like that's fucking badass. I don't care what you say. What you say?
Emojin heap.
What you say?
Yeah, that's not even a song, Ron. Not even.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Kyle, go. Keys
my first
to the game.
My first key of the game is we're gonna have to. We're gonna have to watch out. We better not shout, and we better not cry. And I'm gonna tell you why, because Jameis Winston is coming to town, to New Orleans town.
If you live in New Orleans,
and he's gonna make a list. He's gonna check it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Jameis Winston is coming to town. Guys, that's my first key of the game. Jameis Winston's going to have to make that list. He's going to have to check it twice. He's going to have to watch that. What am I doing?
What is happening?
You were not ready for that one.
He's going to check his list.
Guys, I'm just saying, like, Jameis Winston sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
That's creepy.
And, well, it's true, but he knows if you've been bad or good. So, for goodness sakes, you better
be good.
Be good
for goodness
you
sake.
You better be good for goodness sake.
He was trying to change it.
He was, my key to the game, better watch out, better not shout.
Nick?
Now
I feel like I need to be Christmas themed.
No, fuck that. I'm not. We are going to have to go down to McNeil Air Force Base and load up all them C-130s with beads. So what we're going to do is we're going to fill up the dome with beads. So
how are you going to do that with
could
airplanes?
You imagine?
Because McNeil Air Force Base, man.
You're going to airdrop them?
It's a lot of beads.
To a dome, and they're just going to land on the roof? And
no. Just, I haven't thought this.
What is the terminal velocity of like a bead necklace? Yeah, because like how like I just see the like the C-130s flying over, dropping the beads, and it'd be like, ow, ow, god damn it, beads.
All right then.
Oh wait, no, Nick, finish.
So yeah, second. No, that's it. Just we're gonna airdrop some beads on them.
Got to airdrop the beads. Okay.
My key of the game is that we need to leave some cookies out
for
Drew Brees.
For Drew Brees. Okay.
And they're gonna be laced with LSD.
Okay.
And then Drew Brees is gonna be fucking high as shit during the game. He's gonna throw some picks. I don't have a key of the game this week.
Okay, guys, listen to me close. Elvin Pickle, hot shower on draft. Said, go. Well,
Kyle set this Christmas precedent.
We're at halftime, man.
President.
Yeah.
President of Christmas. That would be Santa.
President.
Yeah, but so I felt like I had to, and I just had to make up with something, and now fuck it. Keys to the game.
Okay, so your key to the game is that we have to dose Drew Brees with LSD.
Using Christmas cookies.
Didn't we say it about Philip Rivers, too?
Yeah, I just want to get every quarterback in the NFL just high on drugs before we play them. Just make our jobs easy.
All right, keys to the game. Sweet. Look at that. We went straight through on this podcast.
Ooh, marathon. Minutes.
Hey, we lost our one guy.
Well, no, bye guy.
We gained a grape.
We gained Andrew. We lost Christopher.
We
were too silly for him. We got to the keys of the game. He's expecting actual keys, and we just gave him a bunch of bullshit. Okay. Let's do hacky keys of the game. You know what, guys? Jameis Winston is going to have to protect the football in this game. We got to limit those turnovers, and we have to get our vertical passing attack going if we're going to have a chance to win.
In fact, how we do that is actually winning in the trenches. Our big guys in, up front on both sides of the line are going to have to win the war of the trenches.
Anthony, do you want to add a hacky take?
We got to limit Drew Brees, man. Just gotta make sure that he doesn't throw any touchdowns.
See, we don't get paid millions of dollars to sit on TV, yet we give you the same analysis.
Exact same takes.
So fuck you.
So before we go, we now have a dad.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm a dad.
No, you're not.
Not officially, but I'm going to be. Yeah.
I'm going to be a dad.
This is officially the dad cast now.
I told Nick we're gonna raise his child to be the first dual hockey football athlete.
I'm fine with that. I'm completely. Even if it's a daughter, we're gonna force that square peg in that round hole.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're gonna break all kinds of glass ceilings with this kid, Nick. I'm gonna train him or her because you know what? I don't see gender in that light. I'm not gonna force any kind of heteronormative cisgendered binary pronouns on your child, okay? Because I know it's a social construct is gender. But you know what? We're gonna break those glass ceilings, and we're gonna have your kid be the next Wayne Gretzky / Peyton Manning.
Wayne Payton.
Wayne Payton.
Wayne Payton.
Wayne Payton. Wayne Payne with the pass.
How do you feel about that, buddy?
Before we skedaddle.
What's that?
How do you feel about being a dad or getting ready to be a dad?
Oh,
what's it feel like?
It's. I don't know. It's
dad,
like
very dad.
Finding out I'm gonna be working overtime in my own house.
I mean, it means you get to make lame jokes.
I feel like it's gonna. I feel like, I don't want to answer for Nick because I obviously don't know, but like, I feel like it's gonna be like when I have an important project at work due or something like that. I'm just gonna fuck off, drink beer, and smoke weed until like the thing is actually done, like ready to be here.
I'm gonna be like, oh my god, what am I doing? Yeah. Oh my god,
it's moving. So Kyle on this show before has talked about how kids should be put in cages like dogs. And now he's talking about how he's going to ignore his pregnant wife until she actually has the baby.
Yeah, she's
fine.
She should have.
Mother Nature, we've done this for millions of years.
Yeah, or exactly.
So many years. I have no idea.
It's why we're put on this earth, probably. Who knows? Okay, we got. I think, Nick, you wanted to go through some bold predictions. Let's do that quick.
No, just bold predictions. I always like doing bold predictions because it's a shot in the dark.
I hate how you always do it because I never have one.
Well, you should know it's coming.
I know it's coming, but I'm just not a very bold person.
All right, here's my bold prediction. I live in a house without on a hill. I don't live with my parents anymore. So my bold prediction is that I'm going to leave milk and cookies out on Christmas Eve. And my bold prediction is they're going to be gone. The next morning.
You're going to drunkenly eat them before.
Just a heads up, guys. We have 20 seconds to wrap it up in Mixler. So my bold prediction is Drew Brees throws another three picks.
Kucherov re-signs.
All right.
All right, we're good.
There you go.
Covered all the bases.
That was your bold prediction. Sorry, Andrew. I love you. Goodbye, Andrew. Mixler chat just ended.
That's what happens when you go straight through.
I know. Hey, that was good though. Yeah, we haven't done that.
Nice meat wrapped in a bow.
I know. And look, we're out here by 9. I mean, that never happens. If we wait, let's wait 1 minute so it'll be 9:11, and we can make this a.
Wait, why would you want to wait?
A special podcast. Okay.
It's a Christmas podcast.
Yeah,
man.
God. Everybody knows that on Christmas Eve.
That's pretty much what it is now.
You wait till 9:11 to end your podcast at 9:11.
I didn't get you guys anything for Christmas.
I didn't get anybody anything.
I didn't either.
I haven't bought Kyle a present in a good long time.
Well, you bought him a board, didn't you? Or are you like, you're going to split a board?
Yeah, we are. That's more of a business decision than a present.
Wow, Kyle.
It's true.
I mean, right.
We don't get each other presents. That's just how it goes.
No. But
I thought about getting Kyle a Cubs hat, but
I would piss on it.
You know what though? There's going to be something coming up quite soon after Christmas that Mr. Kyle will get a present for. It's his birthday. Kyle's birthday is coming up.
Turning 30.
Everybody know that.
Turning 30.
You're not.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, he is.
It's 9/11. 9/11.
Rick and Morty's coming out soon.
Everybody take a shot. 9/11. Okay, guys. That was everybody have a happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. Happy.
Everybody be safe out there. Get home safe to your peoples.
Happy heteronormative, cisgendered, non-denominational holiday. And be safe. Yeah.
Enjoy your presents from Santa.
Enjoy all of that.
Rate, review us iTunes.
Sharkdropper.com/Patreon. I don't know.
/Patreon. You got it.
I don't know. Okay.
Kyle's a mess.
That was War of the Bay. I'm Kyle.
I'm Nick.
I'm Anthony.
See you guys later.
Merry Christmas.